What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Around the NBA, a podcast where I get my thoughts on the latest news, transactions, teams, and players across the league. So before I get into my first topic, I wanted to give a shout out to somebody that I met earlier this week. And I met him through ColorCast. ColorCast, I don't know if you guys don't know this, it's an app where you can commentate on any game, any sport at any time as it's happening, obviously. And you can, while you're commentating, there's a chat box so people can enter your stream and ask you questions, just talk to you, and you can talk to, you know, whoever's on the chat as well as commentate on the game. And this is by no means like a paid sponsorship. I'm not plugging them. I'm not getting paid for this. I'm just saying what I was doing this week. So I was on there commentating on the Brooklyn or the Dallas Mavericks and Golden State Warriors game. And there was a guy who entered into the chat, and I invited him to be a co-host because he was chatting up. So you have the opportunity to invite somebody onto the next, they call it the co-host chair. So I invited him on to be a co-host with me, and we were chopping it up because at that point the game was over. Like, the Golden State Warriors blew the Dallas Mavericks out. So I'm like, let me talk to this guy. And his name is Listen to Lou. So shout out to Listen to Lou, man. Real cool dude. Real cool dude. He's out in New York. So we just started talking just sports. And I had this question for him since he was out in New York. I'm like, listen, you're in New York. Let me ask you this. How does New York feel about the Brooklyn Nets? And what he told me was shocking. So I asked him, like, how does New York feel about Brooklyn? And he goes, honestly, we forget Kevin Durant's even here. And I'm like, what? Are you serious? He's like, I'm dead serious. And the way he was telling me about this was hilarious, man. I'm telling you, he was a real cool dude. It was hilarious. He basically started telling me, like, the amount of relevancy the Brooklyn Nets have is basically non-existent. So he started listing the teams of New York who are a lot more relevant than the Brooklyn Nets. And, you know, the obvious answers are the Yankees, the Giants, and the Knicks. I'm like, all right, that makes sense. And then, like, I don't remember the order, but I know he mentioned the New York Jets. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. Football town. I mean, sports town in general. Like, New York loves sports. But I'm like, football, right? Sport of America, makes sense. Baseball, makes sense. So, next one was the Mets. I'm like, all right, I can kind of see that. But the Nets have to be next, right? Like, it's got to be the Nets next. And he's like, no. You got the Islanders and the Rangers, the hockey team. I'm like, really? He's like, yep. So I, as a joke, I'm like, what about Syracuse? You know, the university. He's like, oh, Syracuse is definitely bigger than the Nets. I'm like, no way, man. There's no way I believe that. He's like, I'm telling you, don't let anybody else tell you differently. The Nets have no relevancy here in the city of New York. And he's like, he said, if they ever win a championship, like if they win a championship this year, I would not be surprised if they didn't hold a parade and blamed it on COVID because they might be afraid no one shows up to that parade. He said, do you remember how crazy the Knicks fans got after that one playoff win against the Hawks? I'm like, yeah, I remember that. He's like, there would definitely be more people at that celebration than there would be, or there was definitely more people at that celebration than there would be at a Brooklyn Nets parade. I'm like, there's no way. He's like, I'm telling you, the Nets, nobody cares about the Nets here. And I kind of believe him because I remember earlier this season, there was the Nets and the Knicks, and it was in the Barclays Center. The arena was filled with Knicks fans. Like, the Nets were being booed. Every basket the Knicks made, it was cheered for. When Randall went to the line, they would cheer Randall for MVP. That was before they hated Randall. Because now I feel like they hate Julius Randle, but before they hated him, that's how quick New York fans like turn on you, I guess. But yeah, like I noticed, I'm like, all right, this is definitely a Knicks town. But I'm like, there's got to be some Nets fans around. And he's like, I mean, there definitely is, but I know a lot more Mets and Jets and Islanders and Rangers fans than I do Nets fans. And I'm like, that is crazy. And I'm like, but wait a second. Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving had an opportunity to go play for the Knicks, right? And he's like, yeah. So I'm like, why do you think they chose to go to the Nets instead of the Knicks? And he said, for one, I think it's James Dolan. Nobody really likes James, so I'm like, all right, makes sense. Don't blame him for that. And he said, the second thing is the pressure of playing for the Knicks. I just don't think they wanted that. I'm like, wow, I can kind of see that, right? I can kind of see that being true. And now I'm wondering, did they know, like, did Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving know the energy in New York City for the Brooklyn Nets? Like, did they know what it was like there for that organization? Because I'm thinking here, there's only two scenarios, right? Either Kyrie and Kevin Durant didn't know that it was like that in New York, and now they're there. And now I'm curious to know, like, if they didn't know, how do they feel about it? Like, do they care? Do they not care? You know, should have they done more research of where they were going? Or they didn't know when they decided to go there regardless, to Brooklyn. But I'm sitting here thinking, like, Kevin Durant, right? He had this opportunity to go to a historical franchise like the New York Knicks. And imagine what happens if Kevin Durant goes to the Knicks and he takes them to the promised land, as well as Kyrie. Like, what are these guys? Imagine that. Like, imagine these guys go to the Knicks, take him to the promised land, and win a championship for the city of New York. Like, can you imagine the pedestal that these two guys would be put on? Like, Kevin Durant would be forgiven of all his sins. Like, he would be immediately forgiven for what he did in 2017, leaving OKC and going to the 73-9 Warriors. Like, that would be completely forgiven. He would be put in this pedestal of the city of New York. Like, he'd be treated as a god there. And for some reason, he didn't want that. And the only thing I can think of is, A, he was afraid of that limelight, that spotlight in for the Knicks and that Knicks organization, and he didn't want that pressure. Or two, he was just trying to build a culture and create something that, you know, something special, right? Kind of like Kyrie or Steph did in Golden State. Like, Golden State was, you know, they've had Wilt, and in the 90s they had, like, Mullins and Hardaway Jr., or Tim Hardaway, not Hardaway Jr., that's his dad, or that's his son, but Tim Hardaway, right? Like, they've had good teams, but Steph Curry and that Golden State Warriors team took them to a whole other level, right? They put them on the map. And maybe that's what he was trying to do in Brooklyn with Kyrie. I don't know. Or they just didn't care at all. Like, they just wanted to play together. They wanted to go to the place where they can get paid and play together and just not have that pressure and just do them, you know, and be in a big market like New York. Maybe that's the case. Maybe that's the truth. Maybe that's just the reality, you know. They didn't have that pressure. They weren't going to have that pressure. They can just go out there and play ball and enjoy what they're doing, get paid, and play together. Maybe that's literally just, it's as simple as that, and I'm over here overthinking it. But I don't know. I just thought it was an interesting conversation I was having with him. But yeah, I just wanted to give him a shout out, man, because it was a great conversation, and I really appreciate it. So I hope I connect with him, and maybe one day I have him on the pod. Never know. But yeah, man, great combo. And I just wanted to give him a quick shout out before I get into my first topic. So my first topic of discussion fits really well with the story that I just told, because it's in regards to the Brooklyn Nets, most importantly, James Harden, and the rumors that have been coming out of Brooklyn and that he wants out. Now, he has shut down some of these rumors, particularly the one where he wants out, he doesn't want to be there, and he's not happy to be in Brooklyn anymore, and et cetera, et cetera. He's completely shut that down. Someone asked him about it the other day, and he's like, did you guys hear that from me? Did I say that? Because I don't know about these rumors. So as of right now, it just seems like it's just smoke. But is there fire with that smoke? I don't know. But it kind of connects well with my thought process of, did he know that Brooklyn was like this? And now that he's there, he's like, you know what? This isn't what I expected, and I want out. I don't know. This is just me talking, right? Like, this is just me jumping to conclusions and making assumptions. But apparently he is frustrated with just the situation in general, right? He said he's frustrated with the inconsistencies, you know, with the injuries, COVID, and what have you. It just seems like he's frustrated. And I can see why. Like, he says he just doesn't feel like their record is reflecting the talent that they have on that roster. And I get it. Like, they're only the fourth seed in the East, which is still solid. I think they're like 27-20 right now, or 28-20 now. Something along those lines. I know they're the fourth seed. Top four team. That's not bad. But I can see why he might be frustrated, because these guys are supposed to be a top two team in the East and top team in the league. So I don't know if he really wants out. I can see why he's frustrated. Kyrie's only a part-time player. Kevin Durant is injured, and it's just him right now. So I can see why he's frustrated. Does that mean like he wants out? I don't know. You know, I don't know. But it got me thinking, like, if he does leave and he does want out, where's a good situation for him to go to? And the biggest rumor that we've been hearing so far is Philly. And I don't think that's a bad situation for him, for either team, for either Brooklyn or Philly. Because in this hypothetical situation that he goes to Philly, that means Philly's going to ship off Ben Simmons, at least I think, right? Because what's the point of having Ben Simmons if you have James Harden now? So I'm going to pose this question. What does that look like? They swap Ben Simmons for James Harden. So Ben Simmons goes to Brooklyn. James Harden goes to Philly. I think that works out pretty well for both teams. I think it's a win-win situation. I think Philly gets a terrific player, top 10 talent in this league. He can still play up to being a top 10 player in this league. He's not that right now. But I think he's just changed his role to be this player that he is. I think he can still play at the level he was playing at Houston. Absolutely. No doubt about it. And that would be a great matchup or a great pair for Joel Embiid. And vice versa, I think Brooklyn gets a nice player in Ben Simmons. Like, he's playing the James Harden role, right? Like, the facilitator. James Harden scores more. Like, he's not scoring a lot, but he's averaging like 22, 23 points a game right now. Ben Simmons is probably not going to get you that, but he's still the facilitator that James Harden is. He's still he's a bigger player, so now you got some more size to your team, and he's a better defender. So now you have a defensive anchor for your team. So I think it's a win-win situation, right? And then that also doesn't take away any shots and any scoring away from Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving if you're Brooklyn. So I think that's a good swap for both teams. But how realistic is that scenario? I don't know. Like, I don't know how or realistically interested would the Brooklyn Nets be in Ben Simmons or vice versa, how much or how interested the Philadelphia 76ers would be in James Harden. Like, I think both teams would benefit, like I said, because if you're Ben Simmons, Brooklyn's actually not a bad situation because they can allow you, you know, they can hide your flaws in scoring because you got Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. You know what I mean? Like, same thing if he was like in Golden State. Steph Curry and Klay Thompson can hide those flaws that he has. That's what he can do, and that's what Brooklyn can do for him, you know, and he can provide rebounding, he can provide defense. Like, he can exert more energy towards those things than he has to on the offensive side of the ball, which is a benefit to him because it's not that he can't score, he's just afraid to do it. You know, he's just not aggressive enough to score. But I think that's a great fit for him. I really do. And vice versa, like I said, I think James Harden is a solid fit in Philly. Now, if that ain't a realistic situation, like, James Harden can literally go wherever he wants. You know, at this point of his career, like, he's earned that. He can literally go wherever he wants, whether it's for a championship, whether it's to get paid. It doesn't matter. He can literally go wherever he wants, and any team would be interested. I think the best fit might be Philly or even the Clippers, like him alongside Kawhi and Paul George. I think that's a solid fit. He can create another big three over in L.A. Is he interested in that? I don't know. So would I blame him for being interested in seeing other options outside of Brooklyn? Absolutely not. Like, that's the benefit you get when you become a free agent. Like, you have the ability to listen to offers and listen to who's interested in you. You know what I mean? And see what's the possibility of playing, you know, somewhere else, and what are the chances of you winning a championship somewhere else. You know what I mean? And if the Brooklyn Nets don't win a championship this year, I can totally see him leaving, like, without a doubt. If they win, he might stay. You know, he might stay if they win. But if they lose, I can totally see him leaving, because that would be a failure. Like, if they lose this championship, I know there's going to be a lot of excuses, injuries and COVID and whatnot, but everyone has to go through that. Everyone's going through COVID. Everyone's going through injuries. Not everybody has Kyrie, but I mean, and I don't mean that in a negative, but like, because not everybody has like a Kyrie Irving situation where he doesn't want to get vaccinated, therefore he can't play. And it's not because of the NBA, it's because of the New York mandate. You know, it is what it is. You know, it is what it is. And I know that's going to be what's put that's where the blame's going to go because of that, Kyrie, yada, yada, yada. At the end of the day, if they don't win a championship, it is going to be looked at as a failure, regardless. So if they don't win, I can totally see him leaving. Even if they do win, the odds of him leaving decrease, but I can still see him leaving because of there might be a nice enticing offer for him to leave. But we'll just have to wait and see. So the rumors apparently of him not being necessarily, like, not being happy in Brooklyn and all that might not be true, but maybe him being interested in looking elsewhere and seeing where else he can play, I can see that being true, because why wouldn't you be interested in hearing, you know, other people out, you know, and hearing other organizations other and hearing other teams out? You know, that's the privilege you get when you're a free agent. So I can see him being interested in that. Does that mean he's going to leave? No. But will there be an offer that's enticing enough for him to leave? Maybe. Maybe. We'll just have to wait and see. But as of right now, he's a Brooklyn Net, and he's just going to, we'll have to see how this season turns out. And if they don't win a championship, it's a huge failure. It's a huge failure regardless. If they win a championship, I think Brooklyn's just in a lose-lose situation, because if they win a championship, people are going to say, well, you expected them to win a championship, right? Like, that was what they were supposed to do. So they're not going to get, like, the credit that they deserve. And if they lose, well, it was a failure. So regardless, they're in a lose-lose situation. But obviously, you'd rather be a champion in a losing situation, quote-unquote losing situation, than lose and be in a losing situation, you know, in that scenario. So, again, we'll just have to wait and see. So James Harden leaving? Maybe. We'll see. We'll see. So moving on to my next topic, I wanted to discuss a team that I was talking about earlier that I commented on their game earlier this week, and that is the Dallas Mavericks. And I wanted to talk about them because I felt like I got a decent sense of where they're at from this game. Like, I know it's one game, but I just kind of wanted to talk about what I observed during this game as I was commentating on it. And man, I really want this team to be successful. I really like Luka. I really like Porzingis. But from what I saw from this game, it's kind of more so the same thing we've been seeing from this team. And what I mean by that is, when they're bad, they're bad. And when they rely on solely Luka, they're not going to win. They can't win that way. And that's what I saw in that game against the Golden State Warriors. Luka balled out in the first half. Okay. He finished with 25 points and like 8 boards and 2 assists, but 21 of those 25 points came in the first half. Okay. That should tell you like how good he was playing. He shot like, I think it was like, I want to say like 7 for 15 from the field, and he shot like 4 for 7 from 3 or something like that. Like, he was lights out. But they were very quiet. It was a very quiet night for him, because for every shot he made, Golden State Warriors made like 2 or 3. So for every 3 he made, Golden State was making 2. So he just couldn't keep up by himself. And he was doing what Luka does and playing basically hero ball. Like, he was trying to carry the weight of the team and carry them to victory. And that's all fine and dandy, but that's not going to help you. Like, that's not how you win in the playoffs. You know what I mean? Like, that's not the style of play you win in the playoffs. So I determined the X factor for this team is Porzingis. Kristaps Porzingis is the X factor for the Dallas Mavericks to be successful in the playoffs. Because if you guys recall, was it the bubble year? Yes, the bubble year. The Dallas Mavericks were beating the Clippers until Porzingis got hurt. And after Porzingis got hurt, the Mavericks didn't stand a chance. They lost that series. Last year, Porzingis disappeared. Like, Porzingis was playing around the same level of game he's playing this year. He was averaging like 20 and 8, 20 and 9. Like, this year he's averaging like 20 and 7, 20 and 8. He's basically averaging the same stats that he did last year. But the biggest difference is, can he play that way come playoff time? And if he can't play that way come playoff time, the Mavericks aren't going anywhere. They're just not. So the X factor for this Dallas Mavericks team is Porzingis. Like, they need him to step up in order to be successful. Because what I saw from him in that game was they didn't involve him. And I'm like, they got to get him involved. They got to get him involved, and they got to get him involved early. He had 5 points in the first half. 5. Like, that's not going to get it done. He had 9 points total, 5 of those in the first half. He shot like 1 for 7 from 3 in the first half. They barely gave him the ball. He had a couple touches like down low in the paint, and he faded and he missed. But they got to get him more involved. I don't know. I don't know if it's like, he's playing good this season. He's averaging 20 and 8. So he's having a solid season, but for whatever reason, like, at least in that game, they were just kind of shutting him out, and they were just trying to rely on Luka, and that's not how they're going to win. That's just not how they're going to win. They got to rely on Porzingis as well. Like, he's just as important to this team as Luka is, in my opinion. He is the X factor for this team. And alongside Porzingis, I would say it's Tim Hardaway Jr. Because I was also saying, you know what? I haven't seen Tim Hardaway Jr. yet. Like, he needs to step up. And come second quarter, as soon as the second quarter started, he had 6 straight points. And he cut the lead to 2. Like, it was a close game until he got hurt. And that's unfortunate. He has a fractured bone. I don't know what that's going to mean for Dallas moving forward. Like, I hope he's all right. I hope he comes back sooner rather than later. I haven't seen a timetable for his return yet. But I immediately said when I like to say it's me. All right. Like, I like to take credit for that. Because the moment I said, I'm like, you know what? Tim Hardaway Jr. is going to get more involved. Literally, as I said that, he hit a 3. And then, like, 10 seconds later, he was on a fast break and he got an and one and he hit his free throw. So those were your 6 points. He had like 6 points in like 30 seconds. And I like to take credit for that, all right? But those two guys are very important for this team's success. And we've seen Tim Hardaway Jr. ball in the playoffs. But the one who has disappeared in both playoff series, whether due to injury or due to just not like literally showing up skill-wise, it's Porzingis, and the result has been the same. And where Porzingis is balling, this team has a legitimate shot. Because imagine if Porzingis is hitting his 3, he's hitting his shot. Like, imagine what that does for Luka. Whether it's hitting his 3, whether it's in the paint, doesn't matter. If the defense has to pay attention to Porzingis, that opens up the floor. That opens up the floodgates for Luka, right? But if Porzingis isn't hitting his shot, right, if he isn't scoring, then they're just going to continue to double-team Luka. They're going to continue to just to put all this pressure on Luka, and it's not going to work. And that they're not going to win because Luka was balling that game. Right, he had 21 points in the first half, shooting 50% from the field, like 48, 4 for 7 from 3. Like, he was balling out. But they were so silent. When they showed his score sheet or his stats at halftime, I'm like, wait, Luka has 21? I was like, how does Luka have 21? I'm telling you, it was the quietest performance I have seen in a long time, just in general. Like, he had 21 points at the half, but it just didn't feel like it. Like, he was hitting everything, but it didn't feel like it because the Warriors were just red hot. The Warriors were hitting everything. And if that's how they play come playoff time, the Mavericks, they're not getting past the first round, depending who they play. They might get sneak past the first round if they play, like, right now they're what, the 5th seed? 4th seed? I think they're they got to be the 5th seed because I think Jazz is 4th. They're the 5th seed. So right now they're playing the Jazz. Can they get past the Jazz playing that way? I don't think so. I don't think they get past the first round playing that way. So Porzingis is the X factor for this team. He's got to step up. He's got to do his thing. If he's averaging his 20-8, 29 in the playoffs, this team is very dangerous. And if Tim Hardaway is averaging his 15, 16 points a game, that's pretty good. The other guy who I'm really impressed with is Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson is a bucket. Like, that guy can score. He's a tremendous player. He's another valuable player, but he's not Porzingis valuable, in my opinion. Like, if Brunson goes out, that's a hit. But if Porzingis isn't performing, that's their biggest hit. Like, they need Porzingis to perform. So to me, Porzingis is their X factor. And from what I saw in that game, they relied, when he's going cold, they rely on Luka too much. He's playing hero ball. And then they lost by almost 40. I know there was like a 20-30 point game. I think they lost by almost 30 that game. Like, they just got blown out. And the Golden State Warriors were just hitting all their shots. So, it's just not a recipe to win. So, Dallas Mavericks, if you want to see some success in the playoffs, you got to feed the ball to Porzingis. So just before I move on to my next topic, I did want to confirm this was a 40-point game, all right? Final score was like 92 to 130. That's how much I wasn't paying attention in that fourth quarter. I was too busy talking to my guy, listening to Lou, instead of watching the game. But all that to say, if you feed the ball early to Porzingis, you probably lose by 20 instead of 40. That's what the result is, all right? You feed the ball early to Porzingis, get him in a groove, and you lose by 20 instead of 40, all right? But for real, moving on to my final topic, Steph Curry. I don't know if you guys have seen this. I'm sure you guys have. His recent slump. And I don't know what's the word I'm looking for. I feel like he is being excused of his current slump. And I don't like it. And I'm not a, I respect Curry. I respect his game. I love his game. You know, I appreciate what he's done for the league. But I don't like double standards, because if this was anybody else, if this was Russell Westbrook in this slump, we would never hear the end of it. Like, we would never hear the end of, I can't, oh, look at Russ, look at Russ, Russ this, Russ that. It would be all over social media. I feel like it's been caught people's attention more lately. But even though, like, it's been talked about more now, it's still being excused. And the biggest excuse I'm hearing is, oh, because Draymond isn't there. He's been in the slump before Draymond got hurt. Okay, it's just now that Draymond's out, it looks like, oh, now there's a reason to blame it. But before that, it was the record, right? People were blaming the record. Oh, he's in a slump because he's in his own head. He can't, you know, that record is getting to him. That's how far back. Like, this record was broken back in December, November. It was like November. Like, this, it's been late November, early December that this slump has been happening. It's been going on for like 2 months, almost two and a half now. And I feel like it's been excused, like, oh, this is, I've also heard, this is Steph. This is what, this is him every year. He starts off hot, he gets cold, and he gets back in his groove. But why? Why do we excuse it? And I don't like it. I don't like, again, I respect Steph. I respect everything he's done for this game. He's in a slump. And it reminds me a lot of Damian Lillard earlier in the season, right? Like, when he first started, everyone was saying, what were people saying? Like, oh, look at Dame. Look at Dame. Look at Dame. Dame this. Dame that. Blah, blah, blah. Dame. And I just don't like that Steph is being excused. Now, he had a good game against the Mavericks. He was cold from three. He was like 1-for-4. I think he finished the night like 1-for-4, 2-for-5 or something from three. But he was hitting his mid-range. He had like 11 points at the half. And if you watch the game like I did up until halftime... you can see like his impact is still there, even though he was in a cold spell. You can still see his impact, right? Like his passing ability, his playmaking, etc. And like I've heard a lot of this recently, that Steph Curry is nothing more than a shooter. And I'm like, that is so wrong. Like, that is so disrespectful, because if you saw the game, like, you know, the Dallas Mavericks game was a perfect example. Like, he wasn't hitting his three, but he was getting to a spot in the mid range. He was pump faking, you know, from three. People were falling for it, obviously, because it's Steph, and he would get to a spot in the mid-range or a floater, and boom, that's where he was getting most of his points. So he's more than just a three-point shooter, right? He's a terrific playmaker, he's a solid passer, and he's a very good mid-range shooter. Like, those are just facts. But I just don't like this excuse that people have been giving him for the last 2 months. It was first, it's because of the record, right? Like, the record's getting to his head. That's why he's in a shooting slump. Now it's been... this is him every year. This is what we see from Steph all the time. Like, he starts off great, goes in a slump, comes back. And then now it's Draymond. And I'm like, when does the excuses end? Just say he's in a slump. And it's okay to say, like, it's okay to criticize players. You know what I mean? Like, it's okay to criticize a player and say, yeah, he's not doing so hot. He's not playing so great right now. It is what it is. You know, that's not hating. You're just being critical of the player. Like, you're criticizing the player, and that's okay. Like, no, not every player, everyone's not going to be playing at a high level at every single game, right? There's going to be cold spells. They're going to be, you know, they're going to be in a slump. It is what it is. Like, right? Like, they're not going to have 30-point games every single night, shooting 50, 45, 60% from the field. It's just not going to happen, right? So if you see this on a consistent basis, it's okay to criticize. And that's what we see for all the time from Russell Westbrook. That's what we saw early on from Damian Lillard. We see this from everybody, right? But when it comes for someone like Steph Curry, he gets a pass. And I just think, come on, man. Like, it's okay to criticize him. It's okay to say that he's in a slump, right? And because of the slump, I've said, I think Trae Young is the best point guard in the NBA as of right now. I'm not saying he's better than Steph. And people are like, what are you saying? When I say that, like, people get upset when I say Trae Young is playing better than Steph Curry right now. Well, what's the point of saying that? You're not going to say he's better than Steph. I'm not, yeah. But what's wrong with saying that Trae Young is playing better than Steph Curry right now? Because he is. He's playing up. He's putting better numbers. He's playing better than Steph Curry. Steph Curry is shooting a worse field goal percentage right now than Russell Westbrook. yes, he's shooting from farther. Like Russell Westbrook is like at 42% from the field, all from 2 to 5 feet from the basket. All right, that's being dramatic. But you know what I mean? Like he's not taking as many threes as Steph. So obviously, yeah, Steph, like his field goal percentage is probably going to take a dip, you know, is taking a bigger hit because of the distance he's shooting from. But at the end of the day, like he's still being inefficient. And it's okay to criticize. That's it. That's all I'm trying to say. And when I say Trae Young is having a better season than Steph Curry, he just is. He is. And people don't like it. And it is what it is. And I said this in the last episode. Trae Young's just balling. Ja Morant, I think, is having a better season as of right now than Steph Curry because of this slump. It is what it is. You know, there's nothing. I'm not saying they're better than Steph Curry. I'm simply saying they're having a better individual season up at this point of the season. So what's wrong with criticizing Steph Curry for his slump? I'm not saying he's bad. I'm not saying these guys are better. It's okay to criticize, and that doesn't mean you're hating. It's just you're being critical of the player. You're holding him to disregard, right? You're holding him accountable for, you know, based off the caliber of player that they are. Like, that's okay. That's how great these guys are. They can take it. It is what it is. Sorry. You know, but still a terrific player. They're still part of the best team in the league, in my opinion. I think the Warriors are the favorites to come out West. Like, after what I saw in that game against the Dallas Mavericks, like, they were hitting everything. Jordan Poole was hitting everything. Klay Thompson was on fire. Otto Porter Jr. When Otto Porter Jr. is hitting his threes, it's over. It's game over. Jonathan Kuminga was balling. I think he finished with, like, I think he was a game high for the Warriors at 22 points. You know, they have a really good team. And that was a conversation I was having with Talk to Lou. He said, this team, this Warriors team, might be the best Warriors team we've seen without Kevin Durant, obviously. But this team might be better than the 2015 Warriors with Harrison Barnes and Andrew Bogut. I'm like, you might be onto something. You might be right, because I think this team is deeper. And they don't even have Wiseman. And I think Wiseman is better than Andrew Bogut. Although defensively, you know, you can give the edge to Bogut. But Wiseman is a solid player. Jordan Poole, great role player, right? I think he's a better version of Sean Livingston. Jonathan Kuminga, really young. He's a rookie. Solid player. Bielica, I think he's a really good player. They just have all-around great player. And Andrew Wiggins was just called an all-star starter today. So, like, this team is dangerous. Like, Andrew Wiggins is an upgrade, apparently, from Harrison Barnes. Who would have thought? He's an all-star starter. So, is this team better than the 2015 Golden State Warriors? Maybe. Maybe. Like, from what I saw that game against the Dallas Mavericks, this team might be the best version of the Golden State Warriors, minus Kevin Durant, obviously. But this might be the best Warriors team without Kevin Durant that we've ever seen. But back to my original point, Steph Curry's in a slump. It's okay to criticize, and it's not hating if you are criticizing Steph Curry. So before I wrap up the show, man, just a quick shout out to JVPC. If you know, you know, all right? I know Dame hit me up wanting to be a part of the show along with some of the JVPC members, and I just couldn't make it work for this episode, but I promise you guys are going to be on here sooner rather than later, all right? I promise. I just got to work things out, but you guys will be on here, all right? If you guys aren't familiar with Players' Choice, make sure you guys go follow their YouTube, their TikTok, all their socials, Twitch. It's a great podcast. They have a Discord. And, you know, we get popping in there. You know what I'm saying? We chop it up. You know, it gets heated in there. You know, and JVPC, gang, you know what I'm saying? We represent, you know, we get nasty in there. You know, we get a little gross. You know, we get a little nasty in there. But we run things. All right? JVPC. You know what it is. If you know, you know. But that's going to be it for this episode, man. Thank you guys so much. Make sure you guys follow me on all my socials at Around the NBA Podcast, on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. Make sure you guys like, comment, and subscribe this video. Make sure you guys like, comment, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you guys listen to me from. And I'll see you guys next time.